Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Life Chat with Viv and Vil. We are so excited that you're able to join us today. Vilma, that show we had last week with those ladies who recapped on our previous 15 show, wasn't that really good? Did that bring back memories for you?
It did, and I didn't even remember we had done all those shows. But it was very heartwarming for me to hear that we have people out there that's listening, taking notes, and learning from it. Yeah. What about you?
Yes, definitely. They remind me of things I didn't even remember that took place. And I really love those three S's that Erica Holder took from that podcast with those young professionals. And that was just so awesome. It was just amazing. And I can't believe that we are going to our 16th show now.
Yes. What were those three S's?
That was a setup for success. What was it again? I forgot fully what it is, but I know it's a
setback.
A setback.
Oh, I think it was
setup.
A setback.
Yes. Say it again.
A setback is a setup for success.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes, yes, definitely.
So what have you been doing? Now are your children back to school?
Yeah. Today is my first day of school for my son, Emmanuel, and it's just been crazy, but, you know, thank God that he made it today. He made it through the day and he's back home, and let's see what the rest of the school year have to bring.
Great. Wonderful. Wonderful. And I'm still going at it. My third week back in school, but it's all good. It's all good.
Awesome.
So let me tell our listeners what to expect today.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, we have a great show for you, our listeners, as we take you through the journey of grief from the man's perspective. Joining us today, we have three men, Ronald Davis, Richard Rutledge, and Ty Olawalafe, who have experienced their share of grief. So without further delay, I will have them introduce themselves and briefly tell us a little bit about their story. And you do not have to go in depth, but what you want to share, you go ahead and share it. I'll start with you, Rich. Introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Rich Rutledge. Thank you for inviting me. 13 years ago, we had a tragic loss of my son who was 21 years old. That was 2007. That was a very, very difficult time. I don't know what else I want to share at this point. I think it will all unravel as we explore this topic. I will say that for me, I had an experience of what I would call a lot of false starts. You know, I thought I was back to what I would say full strength or strong. And I realized I really wasn't. And I have my own business. So I was able to gauge that through the business productivity and realized over a 6 month period of time that I really was wandering around and not getting much done and needed to cut overhead and make some decisions that I probably should have made earlier if I knew what was ahead of me.
Okay, thanks for sharing. So we're going to have our guest, Ty Olawalafe, introduce himself. And just a snip, you don't have to go into detail, because as we go along and I ask questions, we can, as Rich said, your story will unravel. So people will get the gist of what we're talking about.
My name is Ty Olawalafe. About six years ago, roughly, I actually lost two individuals pretty much almost the same time. They're very obviously close to me, who I love dearly, my wife, Crystal Olawalafe, and then my daughter, but you can say she was stillborn. So she died of essentially pregnancy complications, you know. It's difficult when talking about it, but what happened was essentially my daughter passed in the womb around 5.5, 6 months, and then, you know, we had to going to the hospital and have the fetus delivered. And we went in and she did that. She was able to deliver the stillborn, so to speak, child. And then a week later, she had complications from the whole ordeal. She had a blood clot in the lungs and she passed. So I lost like two people at the same time. So it's very tough.
I'm sure. Okay, Ronald, will you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your grief?
My name is Ron Davis, and it's still tough to talk about this, but March 22nd, 2012, I got the phone call that every parent's dread. And so it's something I'm still dealing with, obviously. I lost my son, and it is something that I will deal with for the rest of my life.
Okay, thank you. And just to let our audience...
Thank you for having me, by the way.
Oh, you...
To share my story.
You're welcome. To share with our audience, Ronald Davis happens to be my husband, but we are looking at things from his perspective. I have done a lot of talking about this, but most times we tend to overlook men and what they go through. So, gentlemen, just to share with you, there is a psychologist by the name of Kubler-Ross, and she talks about the grief cycle. And the first stage of the grief cycle is denial. Then she says, you know, these stages go different emotions. You start with denial, then you get angry, and then you start to bargain, then you get depressed, and finally you come to acceptance. Can you relate to these stages of grief? What about you, Rich?
Oh, we keep going in that order? Okay. First, let me say, you know, I don't know, Ty, but my heart is out to you. I can't imagine what you had to endure or what you're enduring.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ron, I'm familiar with. I think that all of those stages, you know, grief, I went to a session, I don't know when, maybe a couple of weeks, somebody, a friend of mine recommended me to go to this. So with regard to these stages, the analogy that this grief counselor in the seminar was using was waves of grief rolling over you. And I love the ocean and, you know, I like going in the waves and I know how to ride the waves or dive into them. So that really worked for me, that analogy. And I think each one of these stages was not like a sequential thing, but a wave that would come over me. Personally, I didn't stay long in denial. I had to make some quick decisions and it was very real. I think I'm laughing. I would have to learn a little bit more about the bargaining stage. I don't think I bargained either. I think I got stuck in depression, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the one that, you know, that I would say I held on to. And acceptance, you know, for me, I accepted in my mind and in my faith, but emotionally, it's really, you know, I think Ron said you deal with this the rest of your life, you know, it changes you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have to accept, I use the analogy of a spiritual amputation, you know, it's like that limb, you don't trust it as much anymore, you know, it's not strong. Like if you break a leg and repair that leg, if you're an athlete, you know, it takes a while for you to trust that leg again. So I think acceptance is, for me, I've clearly accepted everything that's happened and life going on, but I'm not the same. And I see how these waves still come. So it's a continual thing of accepting. You know, it's not as devastating. The waves are not as emotionally devastating, but yet, it's something that I have to deal with. you know. My son and my daughter, they were born a year apart. They were both born in November. And my daughter used to say to me that she never knew life without her brother. Hmm. And that, you know, she recently got married and had a baby and that she missed him. She missed who he would be now. And I didn't really relate to that emotionally. I didn't really understand that. I kind of held him where he was in my mind. But recently I had an experience where I was on a podcast like this, not a podcast, but a Zoom meeting. It was a prayer meeting. And there were a bunch of young guys with their wives and their kids. And my son's name was Ross, which is a unique name for a young Black man. And there was a young guy on there named Ross. And it just hit me. You know, this wave came over me again of sadness because I saw a guy that I could relate to who could have been, you know, I got into that emotional space of what he would have been like at 35 years old with some young babies. So, you know, there's dimensions in this acceptance, things I'm still processing and discovering.
Okay. Thank you. And let me just explain a little bit. So in case others may be wondering about the bargaining. So in denial, what she talks about is you are saying, no, this can be happening, which I think most of us understand what denial is. You know, this isn't happening. This can be happening. And that's the normal reaction. And it's, you know, it's a normal defense mechanism that as a people that we exhibit, but this helps to buffer the shock of everything that is happening. And the anger comes as a masking effect of denial and isolation. We begin to wear that, and it may be directed sometimes even at the person that died, the deceased loved one. Rationally, we know the person is not to be blamed, but emotionally, however, we may resent the person for, you know, maybe causing us pain, for leaving us. We feel guilty, and this makes us more angry. And so that's the way she looked at anger. And with bargaining, it said it's a normal reaction to feelings of helplessness and vulnerability. And it's often a need to regain control. And we use a series of if statements, such as if only we had sought medical attention sooner, if only we got a second opinion from another doctor, if only we had tried to be a better person towards them. So that's the bargaining. We are trying to bargain, but secretly we may make a deal with God in an attempt to postpone the inevitable and the accompanying pain. And then depression is what most people may go into, where, you know, you get depressed, the depression associated with mourning. And then there is the depression that is more subtle and more private that we feel. And this is a quiet preparation to separate and to bid our loved one farewell. And then the acceptance is we go through, we reach this stage of grieving, and the death may have been sudden and unexpected, you know, or we may never see beyond our anger or our denial. But acceptance is not a mark of bravery, but is coming to accept, yes, this is my reality. This is what I have to deal with. So this is just to explain. So Ty, I will ask you the same question. Have you been through these grief session as I just explained?
Yes, part of it, not all of it. I didn't go through denial. I just didn't, because I just accepted the fact when she passed. There was a lot of shock, right? But not denial. I think when it happened, like I said, there was shock and I was just kind of running off adrenaline, just kind of doing everything I felt like I had to do, you know, to move on. When I say move on, it's just to, you know, navigate through life, took care of things I had to take care of, focused on the job and so on and so forth. But as time goes on, you start to feel it. That's when you really, really start to feel it. You know, because you think my wife is not here and the daughter we were expecting, she's not here. And you imagine life, like Rich was saying, you know, what your daughter will be doing at 3, 4, 5, 6 months old. You envision your wife actually taking care of your daughter and things like that. So as time went by, you know, you start thinking about those things, especially when you have a lot of friends my age, a little bit younger with kids. And so you see them, they interacting with the kids, like the sharing, the love. You see all that, but you could have had it, but you don't, you know. And so that's a very tough thing. But I didn't deny anything. I wasn't angry. You know I did ask, wonder why, you know, you always wonder why. And that's what you say, the bargaining piece is, you know, why did this happen? Why did it happen like this? You know, that runs through your mind. But I never got angry, you know, never was mad at God or anything like that. But it was tough. It's tough. And I'm very introverted. So I'm inward looking when, you know, I'm depressed or when I just feel like things are just so overwhelming, right? I just stick to myself. I you know, just talk to God about it. But, you know, it's not something that goes away. You have it for life. It's something that you just have to at some point face. I realized that. And you always love them. You always miss them. And you always imagine them being around you. And they're always part of your heart, you know, that is gone. But I wasn't really depressed all that much. I guess I wasn't angry. But, you know, you do sense a lot of loss. You feel loss, obviously. It's hard to describe in your heart. You just feel like you're just not the same. You feel like you're just not whole. Like, I don't know, you're just not. It's like you have a part of you gone, and you never can get to that wholeness. That's the hard part. That's the difficult part.
I must say, I was angry. And I speak this as a Christian. I was angry because this is my only son. The night before Ron passed away, and he was Ron Jr., he came by the house. He was studying for an exam, a certification, and he went upstairs to his old room. It was still there. Went up, had to sleep, came down, had some dinner, and we watched a basketball game together. I walked my son to the door, waved goodbye to him as he left for his home. At 28 years old, Ron was 6'3 and 180 pounds. He was lighter than I was. Young man who had a future, had everything going for him. He just met a wonderful young lady, and he taking her home and introduced us with dinner. And he called me up, we had dinner together, and then he said, "Dad, what do you think?" Here it is, I'm thinking I would be planning a wedding. Instead, I ended up planning my son's funeral. So I was angry. I was sad, depressed about the whole thing. It just took me a while. And I often share because I believe in mental health and I got counseling. Yes, and as a Christian, I say that I got counseling because that was a trauma, that was a shock to my core being. I had no idea that my son at 28 would be leaving us. All the plans he had. He had just gotten a scholarship, University of Virginia Business School, Darden. He was planning to go back to business school and everything. And there's just so much of a future. So I was angry. And to deal with that anger of losing him, I went into counseling, got grief counseling, because it was, I don't know, acceptance, that the fact has happened, but it is still challenging to this day. I was having a conversation with Rich this Sunday, and we were talking about Chadwick Boseman passing away, and I just started crying because it popped when I remember my son. So I'm still with the issue.
I really appreciate you gentlemen opening up and talking about life in this manner and sharing your heart. And the other thing that I want to ask you about, and you have touched on it somewhat from your different answers, is we hear that how men grieve, that a lot of times because of the way in which women grieve differently from men, sometimes we end up having, those who are married may end up getting a divorce or be distant from their spouses. our friends, because, you know, one expects you to grieve a certain way. And if you don't not grieving that way, it's a belief that you're not really grieving. What do you want women to know about how men grieve? And anybody can jump in. I won't call on you, Rich.
I was ready to continue the circle. You know, I think grieving is such a personal thing that I don't know. I'd be real curious to see if there is a big difference between men and women. I know that when my son passed, I was divorced. And my ex-wife, it was really an interesting set of circumstances. I was engaged, but I had been divorced for 10 years. So my ex-wife and my daughter and I, we were grieving together, but separately. You know, we were touched more than anybody else, right? I think one of the things, I don't know where this falls in that scheme, but I think I got a little jealous that people could get back to their lives, you know, and I couldn't just, you know, continue. Everybody comes around you for a while and they call for a little while, but, you know, after 3 weeks, their lives are going on. And I'm talking about my brothers and sisters and close relatives who were back to their lives, you know. I don't know where that falls, that jealousy thing, but that was something I had to deal with. But, you know, I have a friend of mine, he and his wife, they lost their, I think their son was 15, and he just had an unknown condition and they found him dead. I said to my buddy, I said, well, at least you guys have each other, you know? And he said, no, because the waves hit you at different times. Mm-hmm. So you're going through it together, but you're going through it, you know, he's explaining to me that you're going through it very, very separately. It's such a humbling and authentic experience that it's hard even, what's the word I'm looking for? Let me get back to what I started to say about the men and women, because for one thing, it just broke down all walls, right? So getting back to my ex-wife and my daughter, you know, all the walls you put up, everything's irrelevant. You know, you just strip down to your core. I think women, if I had to generalize, probably are more expressive. You know, it was told to me that depression is a lack of expression. So I think men, you know, we tend to internalize a little bit more than women, which might cause us to be in the depressed state a little bit longer. But I don't know, you know, when you lose someone that's, like we've been saying, that's so central and core to you, I don't know if gender really matters. You know, I think it's such a life-changing event, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any of the other men want to jump in?
Yeah. Men grieve differently than women, but I can only speak really for myself, because Chris, she was always up and going. She never seemed like, you know, things didn't bother her that much. But like Richard said, I internalize things a lot as a man, so I think about it, and again, it's tough. I think one of the issues I have is, like, you know, sometimes people don't know how to deal with you when they're around you. You know, something like this has happened, and even some family members, brothers and sisters, at some point, they don't know how to relate. They'll do their best for a few weeks, maybe a month or two, you know, and then they'll move on to their own, you know, lives. And I think one of the things that also affects me is they sometimes think that not bringing out the person's name would make you feel better. And that's not true, because I still want them to remember her. I still want them to talk to. When I say them, I'm meaning friends, even family members. Mm-hmm. Just remember her. But they don't really understand that. They think, okay, I won't mention her name and I'll be on the safe side, but they just don't understand. So the only person I can really relate to is Crystal's mom, which I talk to her every week, every other week, because she's the only one that, she lost Crystal, she lost both daughters, and she's divorced. So it hit her very hard. And then obviously granddaughter. So she's the one that I can really relate to and talk to. But from a grief perspective, like I said, I'm inward looking, and I have, you know, moments where, you know, you just miss a person you just grieve, and that's to be expected. But as time goes by, I mean, thank God he's able to deal and help me out. You just don't grieve as much, but over time you get better. But there's still grief, but it's all internal, you know. It's not something, you know, you go out there and broadcast to people, obviously. It's just all internal. Yeah, so that's just from my experience perspective.
Thank you.
I'm not exactly sure how to address that question, but for me, and I can only say from my perspective versus maybe a male, one is I talk about my son whenever I get the opportunity. I like to remember him the way he was, his goal, his dream. And so that helps me. I went for counseling and that helped me to share and open up and talk. I mean, I internalize stuff, but it helps when I can talk about it and talk it out and talk it through. And so that helps in my journey. And so that is how I deal with it. I will seek to talk, and maybe that's my lighter side, but I like talking about it. I know women tend to talk about stuff, but I like sharing and talking about stuff. And so based on that, it helps me remember who my son was and help me in my journey. The only thing I would say is when I need my space, my time, it's not a good time. I need to get away. And so even though I like talking, but I also like having my own personal space.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Dr. Ken Druck, who has written, you know, many books and been on programs and I think motivational speaker, he said that the cultural, and I'm reading, these are not my words, the cultural norm for being a man encourages us men to shut down. Of course, he had lost a daughter as well. The cultural norm for being a man encourages us to shut down and shut up, lest we suffer another loss, our status. Then he went on to say that men who are overwhelmed by the intensity of their grief and defenseless against their own feelings of sorrow will try to outrun, outnumb, outbusy their way over and around grief. He went on to say, as I learned at one of our first support groups in New York after 9/11, they will even shout down others who are trying valiantly to work through their grief. And I thought that was so right on, because I think it's a cultural thing. And you men have alluded to it in one way or the other, where women will just talk and cry publicly. And both you, Rich, and Ty talk about internalizing rather than being more expressive. So I think that question that I ask stem from these cultural norms and expectations that people on a whole have for men. Vivian, do you have anything before I go on to my next question that you want to ask these men, or do you want me to go on?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So we're coming up, you know, close to the time, but what would you say to another dad, another husband who may be going through their grief at the moment? What in hindsight do you look back at and say, you know, if I did this way, maybe it would help? Do you have any words, any thoughts? Or even to those who think you're not grieving because you may be silent?
I tell every man and woman that loses a child or loses a spouse or someone, you know, when you're hit with this sudden shock of something you couldn't imagine, it opens up the window to anything can happen, and it can now happen to you, you know? And if they're not sleeping, and none of us were sleeping, right? It's okay to take a sleeping pill. So I give them very specific practical instructions to, you know, make sure your body gets some rest. I experienced acupuncture, which helped me sleep. So just really practical things. Like Ron, I went into counseling, you know, but the things that I really tell people right up front is monitor your body, go to the doctor, get a baseline for where you are, you know, watch your blood sugar, watch your blood pressure, watch your weight, and make sure that you're aware of how you're dealing with this stress, because you're going through some stress and you need to monitor that. I gained 15 pounds in 6 months, and in my mind, it was gradual, right? But I got to a very unhealthy place. And so that's probably, you know, I'm speaking from that experience. What was the question, Velma?
What advice do you have for men out there that's dealing with grief, whether it's now or a long time ago? What advice do you have for them?
I'm sorry. I would say even to Ron and to Ty, you know, because I've been down this road a few more years, that it gets better, you know, it evolves. We're living things and we go through different stages in life. So even adjusting to life without that person in your life, without that loved one in your life, it evolves and it does get lighter. You know, the birthdays get a little bit lighter. You know, so I just try to encourage people, but also tell them to be very practical and take care of themselves. You know, a lot of times we try to take care of others, even when you're married and your kids and your whole indoctrination is to take care of everybody else. But mm-hmm. on the airplane, they tell you to put that mask over your face before you can assist anybody else. So that's my, you know, the other side of it is there's some, I don't know how to say this, searching for the words. I don't want to use the word benefit, but it was a period in my life where I had an experience, a closeness with the Lord that I don't think I could ever got to without getting to a place of total reliance, you know, where it was just me and God. And and that's something that changes you also for the positive, you know, that you know he carries you, you know, he shows up. He's very, very, very real. And, you know, it's a sweet spot. I wouldn't have chose it. You know, that's not anything I would tell anybody because, you know, as Ty was saying, people treat you like you're contagious. Like they're going to catch something, right? So, you know, what I've learned is cutting the lawn or watching a ball game with somebody without saying anything, just being there.
I would say to them that not to expect everyone to understand you if you're grieving. And if you're a Christian, then, I mean, really forced in many of these cases to rely on God. Mm-hmm. And also to, if you have to get help, but don't think people will understand fully unless they've gone through it.
Mm-hmm. What I would say is, first of all, I've had friends or I've known people who have gotten divorced, who have turned to alcohol because it's a shock. And so I would advise men, if you're going through this, this is trauma, not normal. This is something horrific. This would be almost the equivalent of being hit by a car going at 100 miles an hour. That's what's happening to our psyche. Mm-hmm. And so if that happens, where a car hits you at 100 miles, you're not just going to get up and walk away. You want to go to the hospital. Right. And so as a Christian, I had the benefit of having a relationship with the Lord and being able to go in prayer. I was fortunate to have a wife to encourage, and we could go through this together. I had family and friends who were there for me. As Ty said, not everybody's going to understand you, but you will need to take the time out, you know, as Rich said, to take care of yourself. Realizing what you're going through. If you need to get therapy, I would strongly recommend it because it helped me. And I stress that as a Christian, I got help because sometimes we have the feeling that Christians don't need to see a psychologist or a therapist. But if we're going through something, that's what they're trained to do. Another thing I do, and I'm not ashamed, I've said it more than one program or event, I cry as a man. Yes, maybe I'm in touch more with my feminine side. I will cry. And I'm not ashamed of it because The scripture said Jesus wept. So if mm-hmm. Jesus was mad enough and he wept, because the tears that we produce, it brings like, some type of healing. I don't know, but we have to get away from the sayings, real men don't cry. I would say that's nonsense. Real men don't hurt. That's nonsense. We hurt, we feel, and sometimes when we don't, because we don't deal with these issues, then it turns out through violence, suicide, divorce, abuse, and so it can turn into all of those things. So my one suggestion to you is don't be the tough guy, you know, where you don't feel or you can't cry, but listen to your inner self and get help if you need it.
Right. That was so good. Oh, man, that was excellent. All three, you gave some good advice. And you went into my next question, so I don't expect much additional information that you have on this. But I was going to ask, how has this loss affected faith? And you both have alluded to it because I think you're all Christians, and Rich talked about, you know, he got closer to God as a, you know, a benefit, for lack of a better word. And you all talk about praying. And so I know, and I know you all, that you're Christians, but did it make your faith stronger? Did you go closer, or did it pull you away? And then if you answer that in like one sentence or so, then I'll have my follow-up question for you.
For me, I was, I grew. It did make me stronger because now you know that you do have to depend on God. There's really, you know, nothing in the natural, so to speak, that can help you as much as God can. I mean, natural things are helpful, don't get me wrong. But it did strengthen me because I know the only person that can, you know, help alleviate pain, right, is God. Mm-hmm. And I think what was wonderful is when this thing happened, I just felt the presence of God more than I've ever felt in my life. And I wasn't really even asking for it like that. Mm-hmm. I just felt the presence of God. I felt like God was helping me through this, to get through this from a spiritual perspective. So it definitely has helped me get closer to God.
I would say closer, because I don't know how I would have made it without God's help. Just being honest, I don't know. If you knew my son, you'd know what I'm talking about. And so, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I would echo the same thing. Not only closer, but with the acceptance piece. You know, we know that it's a unfruitful question, why me, right? So you get into the sovereignty of God. And for me, he really gave me a gift because I had the opportunity to lead my son to the Lord personally a year before everything happened.
Man.
So, you know, that gave me a lot of peace, a whole lot, you know. And I just look back at the sovereignty of God. And even in times like this, where there's so much uncertainty, we know we're going to be able to look back and see God's grace through the cracks.
Amen. That's so good. Now, I know there are those Christians and non-Christians alike that get stuck. Have you moved on? Yes, no. Just a yes, no. Have you moved on? Yeah.
Moved on in what way?
Moved on. You're not stuck anywhere.
Oh.
Where you're okay. I've moved on.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So yeah. How about the person who will be listening to this podcast who does not have a relationship with God? The man who is not a Christian, what would you say to them?
I think the most important thing is knowing God is so beneficial to what you're dealing with. So they wouldn't really, really get fully healed without God. So for them, it's a benefit. I would say seek God and to accept him, because he's really the only one that can fully heal And it's something that they will have to experience. That's what I would say to them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anybody else want to chime in on that?
I would say without that relationship, if you don't know the Lord, and I'm not just talking about just going to church, but until you've accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, you have this walk with Him. It's like having a close relationship with someone, and that's where He's by your side, man. There's a scripture, 23rd Psalm, which says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me." And that's what it is to have a good friend, a relationship with someone who's there with you through the good times and through the bad times that He will see you through.
Thank you.
I would, you know, so much of what we hear about the Lord is about eternal life, that He came to give us life after death. And I would just try to find the words to invite them that the Lord, as we've all been speaking, is a very present help in time of trouble, and He wants to be with you right now. I can't imagine, but God, you know, I can't imagine going through this without the Lord. You know, I was thinking about the verse, just the idea of be still and know that I'm God. And if you don't know God, you're just, this is a moment in life that your spirit is still. I mean, mm-hmm. The only way to mend is to be still, mm-hmm. right? Take a bone and we put a cast on it, just keep it still, and the body will heal itself. So we still are spirit, but without God, the body, the spirit's not mending. I would certainly do my best to try to share enough to get them curious about this God that is there for them right now. He's a right now God.
Amen. Thank you all so very, very much for being on this podcast and sharing Live Chat with Viv and Vil. And I know that this will be beneficial to the many who will be listening. And as I wrap up, there is one thing that I do know. Grief is natural. It's normal. It's something that happens in life. And I do understand also that grief can become unhealthy, where it goes in a way and it takes a path that is unhealthy, where we go to a point of no return. So I'm glad to hear that you men have moved on. You have recognized who your strength comes from, and you are very open and share your heart of getting help as you go through the stages of grief. And I know sometimes you go through the stages, we don't even recognize the seemingly transition from one stage to the next. And there are other times when we go back and forth. We think we were down here, and then all of a sudden we're back up to this other stage. So it's not a linear event, but it goes up and down. You know, it intersects for most time. So for our audience, I hope you have taken away something from this. If you have questions, if you want to speak to any of these gentlemen personally, get in touch with Viv and Vil, and we will get the contact that you need. If you need help with a real man who has been there, done that, get in touch with us, and they are more than willing to help you and to share with you what they have done to help them through their journey. Again, this is Viv and Vil for another episode of Life Chat, and we thank you so much. We thank you, Rich, Ron, and Ty, for being our guests this evening. And I hope if the time comes and we need to call on you again, that you won't hesitate. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Bye. Thank you.